I do want to know, because it did dawn on me. I was like, okay, he played in St. Louis. He started his career in St. Louis. There were some good teams. There were some bad teams there. You also were a part of the 2022 Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a coaching change in the middle of that season. And my God, it's a 1-3 start. But you've been in the league 13 years. What personal experience do you draw on that makes that you know, because you're the one who was talking to the defense at the end of warmups on Sunday. So it's like you're one of the leaders. What personal experience, if any, do you draw on where you know that this will make players tick and this will turn players off? What to avoid and what to lean into? And maybe it's different team to team, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think you lean in on the what's facts. And, you know, facts is this is where we stand today. But on the other side, you know, there is, man, we have so much, you know, ball to be played. And at the end of the day, that's what we focus on, is that there is a tomorrow that exists for us. And we have the ability to fix everything that's like transpired over this first quarter of the season. And that's what we lean on. And we lean on that foundation that was formed in OTAs, in the Greenbrier training camp, like that bond and connecting and the love that we have for each other, the unconditional love, regardless of what happens, that is what's going to allow us to come out on this other side a lot better than most will expect of us. So that's what I tend to focus on. And I believe that's what's allowed me to persevere in other instances throughout my career. You know, Philly had to go on a 5 to 6 game stretch multiple seasons and made the playoffs, you know, and like, so it's doable because I've seen it work. But the biggest thing is having guys be committed to that, to the fix, and then also staying together and block out the noise. You know, blinders. Like that's what we got to do right now. It's we can't look left to right, worry about this team, that team. You can't listen to, you know, what this person is saying. No, let's stay together. Let's work, and let's go out here and just get it done.
Well, along those lines, we have Ronnie McLeod in studio as we do every single Tuesday after the Browns games. So there was something that happened on the sidelines, and I always wonder, with defense and offense and your factions, if you even know about this stuff when it goes down, because TV makes a big deal about mm-hmm. it. And when DeJuan Jones and Deshaun were having their conversation, mm-hmm. Jameis Winston comes over almost like a mediator mm-hmm. in that situation. Do you even know about this as it's going down? Is this something that, hey, that's the offense. We're going to let them handle it.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I was not aware until, you know, hours after the game, and then locker room talk, you hear about what happened, and of course, you know, because of our situation, right? If we win, nobody's talking about it, but with a loss, oh, like now they're gonna make a bigger deal of what's happening. But at the end of the day, man, we're family, and we all sitting here as married individuals, kids. There's times where you go at your wife, right? Over whatever. You forgot to do this, disagreement there. Like, that's just going to happen. But guess what? You say, I love you before you go to sleep. You wake up. You kiss her goodbye before you leave to come here into work. And that's just, it's no different. And I believe there has to be some sort of uncomfortability at times when we're trying to grow and we're trying to win. And when you understand the person's intentions behind it, that it's all coming from a place of love and respect. And man, I just want to see you succeed. And not only you, I want us to succeed. Then the feeling is you're going to receive it the way that it's supposed to. And so what we saw is that two brothers, man, we're trying to win a football game and we want to get on the same, you know, page, whatever it might be, whatever four said to DeJuan, and guarantee, you know, now it's all love. We understand what took place, and DeJuan's going to continue to show up for four. Four's going to continue to show up for DeJuan, and we're good.
So Lyman and I follow college football very closely. 2 weeks in a row, Hugh Freeze has kind of thrown his players under the bus. Now, that's college football. But we're very in tune to that because, you know, we're getting to the part of the season already where the leaves are starting to turn on some of these coaches here. Doug Peterson, they went 0-4 now to start this season. I mean, you guys beat him. They lost again on Sunday. They just made a huge investment in Trevor Lawrence, so he ain't going anywhere. But Doug Peterson's in question, and it doesn't help matters if he said this after the game.
We as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it, okay? I can take it. So whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
They lost 24-20 against the Houston Texans. Again, 0-4, 0-3 away from home. What, if you hear that in the media, what is the reaction in the locker room? Have you had an 0-4 start before?
No. I've been fortunate enough not to have a 0-4 start. You know, at the end of the day, we want accountability on all parts. We understand it is a team effort that goes from, you know, the coaches, you know, players, trainers, strength coaches, front office, everybody plays a role. But we all know that at the end of the day, when we line up and we're, again, in between those white lines, it is us as players to get the job done. But I would say there seems to be some deflect there if I'm listening to a point where, you know, a level of frustration has occurred.
Yeah.
Where I think Doug is sitting there like, well, what more can I do?
Like
and so as a player, yes, how do you receive that? Because and only the people in that building can answer that question. Are the coaches really giving us everything in their power for us to win on Sundays and we're not doing our part? That's fair. If that's the case.
Well, it's like a trust to be like a adult enough to be able to take that, because it's, I mean, at some level, it's got to be true. Like, you guys are professional football players. Now, he's won a Super Bowl. He's not completely inept. Now, maybe he could be overrated for all we know. But he has won a Super Bowl. He knows what he's doing. And I think there would be a point of frustration going, hey, man, you guys can sit there and yell at me all you want, but I can only put them in the right places, and then they're off to their own devices.
Correct.
Like, you can't go make the plays for them.
Correct. But, you know, and it's a two-way street, because, I mean, we've seen also how, man, you can have great talent, but there's bad coaching that exists in this league.
Oh yeah,
and that's why, you know, some people are shipped out, you know, every year. Some people also just don't know how to necessarily lead a group of men.
How many?
Right, that can be a factor too, and I feel like what's brewing right now, and we kind of hinted at it earlier, right when. Couple weeks ago, like the trust, what, like where is that trust between coaches and players? And it's going to reveal itself very soon in how people truly feel, because you know how it goes. You get in front of that camera, those questions get answered. I mean, asked. There's only a matter of time before, again, the truth and what's happening in the dark starts to come to light.
So we're on the sidelines a lot, like for like high school stuff. And it's just like there's plenty of really good high school coaches, but then there's guys who are slappies. And I'm like, this guy's a yeller. He's not a teacher. This guy, you know, and it's the same thing when we're doing Lyman does college football on ESPN. I've only seen the Browns. Okay. How many, you just said, like, there's differences in coaches. Do we still hide bad coaches in the NFL?
Absolutely.
To this day?
Absolutely.
How can you tell who's a bad coach? Tell me, give me an example of a bad. Not if you want to name names, you go right ahead.
I'm not naming names. It's demonstrated by just, I feel like their actions. It could be their delivery. It like they can know so much, but they just don't understand how to necessarily coach. It could be a lack of accountability. All those things go into your responsibility as a coach. And it's no fault of any, but like there are bad coaches that exist. You've seen teams transform from one coach to the next. And some coaches, they may have a spurt of time where they do well, and then eventually, that's what they lose the team. They lose that group. And once you do that, there's no point of return after that, I feel like.
Rodney McLeod with us in studio. So it's not often that a rookie quarterback can put up 80 points in 2 weeks, and that's who you're going up against this week with Jaden Daniels. He's completing an astonishing 82% of his passes. He had two games they didn't punt. It's not often that a rookie might have an attention of a vet like you. What are your early reads on what he's been able to do?
Yeah, very impressed by what he's been able to do in the first quarter of this season. You can see he's really breathed life into that entire organization, and quite frankly, the city, like my hometown. You know, I hear a lot of the chatter. Literally, I was just in a group chat with my dad and my godpops, and one of them, you know, unfortunately is a Commanders fan, and he's like, man, I'm excited. Like, I haven't been this excited in a while. And so that's just the chatter, but you see it. You know, I got a glimpse last week. They play in the spotlight, and you know, he plays an amazing game. You know, it seems like he's in tune with the play calls. He's throwing the ball on time. And then he also has the ability to use his gift and escape the pocket when necessary, when things, you know, don't go right. And so he has that off schedule ability too. So it's a great challenge for us. They're running the ball well. So they're playing good complementary football over there. And it's rare that you see, you know, a young man step into, you know, this situation and handle it the way that he's doing. But he definitely has our attention, and he deserves that. He's earned that to this point.
Now, do defenses, especially defenses with as many veterans as you guys have, do you get excited for that opportunity to feast on a rookie? Or is it the flip side, like, we don't have a lot of tape on this guy. We don't have a lot of tells. Like, there are guys that you go up against, you've been like, all right, we see Gardner Minshew. He's played enough games now. You've seen him. You kind of know tendencies. Yeah. In this case, what are the tendencies of a kid who's kind of burst onto the scenes?
Yeah, I think at this point, there's plenty of tape. You know, four games in, like, you have a great understanding of who he is and his identity. So I don't think that'll be a problem. I feel like, yeah, first game of the year, you're definitely kind of in the dark. And how are they going to use this new tool that they have? But for, you know, in our situation, we have enough tape. You know, it's going to be on us to prepare, to study, to try to exploit some of his weaknesses like we all have, and be able to make it uncomfortable for him. Even though right now, you know, he seems very comfortable, confident, poised. But it's on us as a defense to create that discomfort and to, you know, just muddy the water a little bit. And make it difficult for him come Sunday.
I don't know if I could live in a world. I'm not used to a world where Washington has a good quarterback. It's been a very long time. Like, people are like, well, Joe Theismann. I'm like, I was a baby. I don't even, like, I was very young. Like,
RG3 for a glimpse. Yeah, Kirk Cousins. They went from like RG3 to Kirk Cousins era. You know, because I was playing versus Kurt when I was in Philly, and RG3, we all came in the lead together. I play him in St. Louis. But, yeah. And then after Kirk, I don't know where they went from Kirk.
I mean, they tried a couple, but it didn't really work. Are you surprised by what the Vikings have done to start off the season, considering the way you guys had a joint practice, a series of joint practices? Are you surprised at 4-0?
I'm very surprised. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't have a winning record, but I am surprised at the 4-0, like, yeah. Vikings that are looking very convincing. They're playing great football in all phases, obviously. And, you know, going against them, you know, talented. But I didn't leave those scrimmages thinking that they would be where they are. And that goes to just to show you right then and there. And, like, man, we don't know. None of us know. And all it takes is, you know, a little bit of confidence, trust in each other. And winning is, that feeling is contagious. And when you come together and you have it, it's beautiful. And so I'm happy for them that they're off to a good start. I'm envious of their start. But, you know, we'll see, you know, how this thing ends up, you know, for us both. But right now you couldn't ask for a better start. I don't know how many teams are 4-0, two? No?
Yes.
Two teams,
Kansas City
and Vikings, yeah. Right? Yeah.